to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the passage of the 19th Amendment, which gave women the right to vote, South Carolina Public Radio and South Carolina ETV are broadcasting this series, Sisterhood, South Carolina Suffragist, a look at how local women played a role in a national movement that eventually guaranteed more than 26 million women the right to vote.
Susan Pringle Frost was born to a prominent Charleston family and seemed destined for a life of leisure until her father's fertilizer business fell apart after the Civil War. She left boarding school to help her family, first by working as a secretary for an architect and then as a stenographer for the U.S. District Court. Betsy Kirkland Cahill is the great-great-granddaughter of one of the judges Frost worked for.
It seems presumptuous to say I understand Miss Sue, but I sort of get some things about her, and I just admire her deeply.
Cahill learned about Frost growing up on the peninsula and is the board chair of the Preservation Society of Charleston, an organization Frost founded.
What really galvanized her was the discovery that the male stenographers were paid more than she was. So she saw this as the injustice that it was.
Frost joined the movement, becoming the first president of the Charleston Equal Suffrage League. She later campaigned with the National Woman's Party, protesting President Woodrow Wilson outside the White House in 1917. Several women were jailed for taking part.
And she claimed to be very disappointed that she wasn't arrested at that demonstration. That was the kind of woman she was. She was all in.
But Cahill says by the time the 19th Amendment was coming up for a vote, Frost had to step away to attend to the estate of an aunt who had died. Once again, family obligations seemed to change the course of her life. But Cahill says this time they put Frost back on a path she had already started, real estate. She had dabbled in it a decade earlier. By 1919, parts of the peninsula were slum-ridden and disease-infested. Frost thought women should play a role in cleaning up society's ills. So she bought homes in disrepair, fixed them, and sold to those who would preserve them. Christopher King is the executive director of the Preservation Society of Charleston.
And so as Miss Sue is setting out and doing this, you know, I think she was sort of scoffed at by the bankers and the lawyers and the businessmen of Charleston. But she persevered.
Frost didn't care. She was fearless, unconventional, outspoken. King says as more cars moved into the city, corner lots considered prime real estate were also being eyed to build gas stations. Frost would have none of it. When the Joseph Manigault House was threatened in 1920, she gathered others concerned about saving it. The Society of the Preservation of Old Dwellings, as it was first called, was formed, and Frost was the president.
You know, her approach of engaging and mobilizing really has become the standard for every preservation organization in the country.
The woman who had spoken out for women's rights when they had been silenced was now doing the same for historic dwellings, places where people lived and breathed, places she believed deserved a life.
It's that sort of passion for communication and consciousness raising, and it's her determination that, yeah, maybe you get discouraged sometimes, but you don't give up.
The Preservation Society of Charleston continues to fight for a city Frost dearly loved. At times, the issues seem even more complex, like overdevelopment and sea level rise. But Susan Pringle Frost is still the Society's spiritual guide. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Victoria Hansen in Charleston.